SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two on this Monday, and certainly focusing in on the weekend recapping, and that'll continue. I will give you a quick heads up because I just retweeted Andy, who gets out the scratches well before they hit Equibase. Andy goes and gets them from the mutual department, and has been, you know, half an hour, 40, an hour ahead of everybody. It's been very helpful. So I, as quick as I get to it, I retweet it, and there is virtually a clean slate today. You can take out the MTOs, and other than that, there's only two scratches that are not MTO. Everything else is complete. It's just a nice boy. This is the old fashioned nine race Monday card. It's just the kind of treasure these, actually, given how intense and some of the, you know, the big days like Saturday's 13 on Saturday, the biggest card of the Saratoga summer. Johnny D was on hand, and not just for Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a big 100-hour extravaganza for our man. Johnny D, good morning.
Stevie, how are you? You have a little, I wouldn't call it Vegas voice, maybe a little Travers voice going on.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I do too. Survived this wonderful trip every year in good shape. And looking forward to next year, as usual.
Well, let's dive in. Take us through your Travers 2018.
Travers 2018, okay. Well, I think I would say that things were a little rough in the mutual end. Struggled a little bit. Was handicapping well. Just couldn't put it together. You know, that 4 out of 5 syndrome and the pick fives, just couldn't get over the top. Will and I kept talking about, I'm looking for my trip maker. I need my trip maker, that one race that puts you over the top. I kind of, you know, I'd win a little, I'd lose a little, win a little, lose a little, lose a little more, lose a little more. Had many horses run with win bets, run second at 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 12, 15 to 1. Had a lot of those and just couldn't ever get it home. And the exact is when there would be a nice price horse of mine that would run second at 5 to 1, 7 to 1. I wouldn't have the winner. I just couldn't kind of put it all together. So that was the handicapping. I didn't feel lost. I didn't feel like the horses were running strange races. I didn't feel like the track was particularly crazy one way or the other, except speed was doing well on dirt, which speed always does well on dirt in my book. And the turf, I thought that speed did very well on the turf. I don't really kind of understand sometimes why riders let other riders go so easy up front. You look at a race and you see, you kind of think that there's several speed horses in the race and it just doesn't turn out that way. I kind of questioned that a couple times, especially after you've seen horses go wire to wire on the turf for, you know, several races. You start to get the idea, well, you know, you better go get that horse. Don't let him go in 50 or 48 and change. Go get him a little bit. So I thought there was some of that where I saw a lot of speed horses get away with easy leads. And then again, at the same time, they've got to get the lead. That rider has to be aggressive enough to say, I've noticed what's going on. I'm taking the lead, and they're going to have to come get me. And so, but other than that, I thought it was pretty formful. Everything was. Catholic boy, I don't know if I dropped the ball. I don't know if I didn't pay enough attention to his workouts. I don't know if I was just stunned by the thought of a horse winning a long way, a mile and a quarter grade one on dirt, coming back and winning a mile and a quarter grade one, mile and a quarter on dirt, winning one on turf and winning one on dirt. It's a hard, it's a very difficult thing to do. Don't see it very often. Someone mentioned Barbaro. I think of John Henry. I mean, it's really, I'm sure it's been done. But it's very difficult. It takes a very special animal to do that. And for him to do it as a three-year-old in this kind of situation, this kind of race, all attention on him, and a deep field, as Dale said. This was a good field. I thought it was going in, but Catholic Boy made them all look not as tough as I thought they might be. Anyway, I didn't see him coming. My bet in the race was Mendelssohn, and the other horse that I loved was Bravado. That in a nutshell is my trip. All right, so I had straight bets on Mendelssohn to win. I had a straight bet on Bravado to win. I had Exotic eyeing them up with everyone except Catholic Boy and a few others, but several more horses. I just didn't have. I missed the boat on Catholic Boy, and I'm mad because he was my Florida Derby horse. You know, I loved the way he was coming into it. You know, I thought he run well that day. Of course, he bled that day. But he wasn't that fast on choreograph figures. Is a three-year-old, had a very solid sheet, I thought, but just wasn't that fast on figures, as fast as some of the other ones. Now, on the way up to the Travers driving up the car, Will Schwartz mentioned to me, he said, you know, in recent memory, the Travers very often is a race that starts the second half of the year. It's very often a horse, a new horse. He's the West Coast. Who else do you want to think about? You want to think about Arrogate. If you start to name some of the horses, the recent ones, you will find that. I'm being interrupted here by all kinds of things going on, and I'm losing my train of thought. But name some recent Travers winners, and you'll start to see that they came from nowhere, or at least not from nowhere, but they were the start of a new season.
Like a launch point. I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the way I felt that what we were dealing with here. And I should have seen Catholic Boy coming, because that's a perfect example of what we were seeing, what we saw. Anyway, I didn't have Catholic Boy, so that kind of set things up. Now, well, Sunday night, Sunday was more of the same. And then Sunday night, back to the hotel and hit the late pick five at Del Mar.
Atta boy.
My thoughts exactly. Let's see how we started this. Straight from the track after the races, get back to the room, in the bed, got the Capital OTB station on, got the got the iPad and the computer working, the laptop working, and I bang out handicapping the last five at Del Mar, and Will and I went and had a fight to eat watching the races the results as they came in, and boom, we bet for $4,000. So, you know, all is well.
I love it. That's been your story a lot lately. Actually, you've pulled the fat out of the fire on a timely basis.
The Last Chance Saloon, you know, and the last stop before Mudville, we pulled it out. Now, there's one other interesting occurrence that I have to relate to you. We saw you Sunday. I'm trying to remember what race it was. Was it the Smart and Chassis race?
It was after the DQ, so it would have been the seventh.
Seventh race. Okay. In the seventh race on Sunday, the winner was it Smart and Fancy?
No, that was the stake.
Jody Song,
who actually
Song,
we must have seen you. We saw you after that.
Yes. So, Will was there with me, and I was with another friend, Bob Lee. Then we met in there, and we said hello to you and Tina and the family. And congratulated the newly engaged couple. And Will seemed at a pretty good booth, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was not winning at that point. It had been a rough trip for him also. And, you know, we were licking our wounds at that point, but we're racetrack veterans. We understand that it can turn around in one race or in five races. It's a pick five.
Yes.
It can turn around. It can turn on a dime or on $10. Anyway, when we got back to the seats, after we saw you, you recommended, you said, try the ice cream sandwich.
Yes.
Spot over here. Go try that. So we went over. We each had an ice cream sandwich. You were correct. They were wonderful, outstanding. And there was no line. I don't know. Like, maybe because it was so late in the day. Anyway, great. Outstanding. So we had our sandwiches. We went up to the seat. We sat down and we're handicapped the next race. And Will gets ready to log into his account. And he says, "So, what's this?" So I looked at it. I said, "No. What happened?" He said, "I don't know. I've got 9,000 in my." I said, "What? What happened?" We looked. In the Jody Song race, he played a $10 trifecta using the 13 Dickinson's horse. But he fat figured the 12 Classic Lady that paid $17.20 to show. So I don't know what price she was to win. The trifecta came back. The 50-cent trifecta came back $4.42, and he had a $10 trifecta. He fat-fingered himself into $9.
Unbelievable.
So, after that, I mean, what other stories? Where, you know... Where else do you go from there? So he had his trip maker. He got his trip maker. Anyway,
that's great.
And really, before that point, the trip was sensational. The weather was outstanding. I thank you for taking care of the weather, which I asked you a couple weeks ago. Get this all out of your system because we're coming up and we want this all straightened out. You did a wonderful job. I commend you and anyone else you put in charge of the weather. They did a great job. the crowd Saturday on Traverse Day, I thought a little bit today I was concerned. It seemed a little late. It didn't seem like it was as large as usual. Parking seemed to be easier. It just seemed a little dead. We got inside, and as the afternoon progressed, the crowd swelled. And it really, you know, as Will said to me, it looked like an Uber crowd. It was a young crowd. I noticed a lot more young people than I've ever seen Traverse Day before. Now, I could be wrong. This is, what do you call it? Anecdotal? I didn't take a survey. I don't know if there were more young people. Or maybe I'm getting older, so there's more people that look young to me. Maybe that's it. But it seemed to me like there were, and after the races, I said to Will, I said, look, this may be an Uber crowd, and I hope they're all taking Uber home, because I don't want to be driving with these guys on the road. They seem to have a great time. I thought that was noteworthy. You know, for people that always want to say, you know, the young people don't care about that, there was nothing extra going on luring the young people there. They were there to bet the races and to imbibe alcoholic beverages and have a good time. You know, you see them with the smoking cigars and singing and chanting and, you know, having fun. I don't know how much fun they had Sunday morning, but Saturday afternoon they were having fun. So I thought that was an interesting part of the day. I also get back to Catholic Boy for a second. Get back. Jonathan Thomas really picked my hat off to a sensational training job, winning both of these races, the mile and a quarter on grass, the mile and a quarter on dirt, coming back from doing the right thing along the way, the bleeding, giving time, knowing his horse, and getting his horse back to where he should be physically in a relatively short time, but obviously perfect timing. Whatever this horse needed, he obviously got. And that's knowing your horse. And having a horse with outstanding constitution that he could, you know, kind of, okay, you bled in the Florida Derby, and then they stopped on him. They gave him all the time. They let him come back. You have the owners that are willing to do that. There's so many facets that have to work together. A real credit to allow this horse to blossom and to become the outstanding athlete that he is right now. You know, he demolished that group, you know. I didn't believe he had that kind of speed. Look, if you're in front on the grass going a mile and a quarter, it doesn't mean you're going to be in front on the dirt in a mile and a quarter. It's a different speed in my experience. That's not same thing. It doesn't translate. They go faster on the dirt. From the outside post, I understand. Has to go. Has no choice. But I didn't think he'd be able to get up there and stalk. I saw Mendelsohn on the lead, and I said, he's going to go wire to wire. He's going to get the lead. Maybe somebody's going to press him, but they're not going to be good enough. He's just going to keep going. They're not going to catch him. Bravago's going to come running. That's it. So all credit to Javier Castellano. That's how you win six travels. You get on good horses and you take the initiative. You let this horse do what, you know, if the trainer tells you he's ready, you let him, you dare to be great. And that's what Javier did. He put him in the race from the 11 post, by the way, is supposed to be a disaster in the travels. Historically, I read something to that effect. It's been 40 years or some stat that got in my head and bothered me. But this horse overcame all that. Javier let him be great, and he proved that he was great. the trainer, the owner. You know, we talk about, in fact, Will and I were talking about this in the car. You know, you have the outstanding trainers that we all are well aware of who they are, and we praise them. Baffert and Smith's record in New York, what is it, 15 races, they won 13 with one third, I think, is the stat. That's goofy. It's incredible. But there are other trainers who can train. There are other guys that can do a great job. Give them a horse. Give them a good horse. There are guys out there. We know who they are. Maybe the world doesn't know. But inside the racing community, we know who they are. Guys that take care of a horse, that can develop a horse. And to see a guy like Jonathan Thomas accomplish this, look, it's crazy to even try this. You win a grade one on the turf. Who's going to go to the dirt? What are you, nuts? Why? Well, the guy knew his horse. They took a shot, and it worked. And not only did it just work, he didn't win by a neck. He left this pretty good group. I mean, that's the nicest collection of three-year-olds that we know right now are in existence, minus one, minus Justified. They were all there. He demolished them. So turn the page. The Travers allowed you to turn the page again, move forward. Just outstanding. Yeah, as you said earlier, the storyline are great. And this is a timeless example of a guy knowing his horse completely and really getting the most out of him. Now he's going to take him back to turf.
Well, Johnny, a couple of things. Jonathan's going to join us next. I want you to quickly hit, we'll do Fun in the Sun as we wrap, but a quick thought on the sequence of steward action and non-action.
All right. So start me off. The first one was okay. It was Abel Pazman in the lead. Smith definitely came out from the inside under left-handed whipping. Definitely came out. Jose Ortiz on a late definitely moved in a path or two. They made contact. I think the contact was Smith wanted to get her close to a late, wanted to get Abel Pazman close to the late. First, under left-handed whipping, a late had drifted out and drifted away, almost as if Jose wanted to get her away from the late into the middle of the track. But then they both came together. Jose switched to the right. They drifted in. The late drifted in a little bit. Abel Pazman came out more than the late came in, no doubt about it. They made contact, but the contact was kind of at a point where they were both moving toward each other. They hit. They separated, and they didn't really bump again. They may have rushed again, but again, it was both of them. So I was okay with that call. That's the way I saw it. I was okay with that call. The next one was, which one? Remind me.
Oh, the nightcap. You had the non-call
yeah.
After the
okay.
The Boston Spa, which it looked pretty egregious.
All right. So the nightcap, that Saturday night, the last race.
Yeah.
I was out the door when they hit the wire. The account was on E. I was on E. I was out the door after that, the 13th. I did not see the incident. I saw something happen during the running of the race, but everything that I was mutually involved in was not going to be changed no matter what they did. So I got out. Now, I watched the replay, and I looked at, yes, I think that the horse that finished second is who we're talking about, I assume, correct?
Yeah, the comes wandering four paths and cuts off.
It bothers
three horses.
Yeah, but most severely, I think the horse in the green, at least. I think that was maybe the nine, maybe the, you know, But definitely, I think that one should have come down for a second, in my opinion. He drifts out, just kind of almost bolts, two or three paths, and definitely impedes horses behind. Clear? I don't think so, in my opinion. But now, the last DQ that we're talking about was Dylan Davis.
Yeah.
On the inside, that was the ninth race. That was on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that was the sixth, the start of the pick five.
Okay, Dr. Edgar.
And Holiday Bonus of Gramps.
Yeah, about one in the sixth or two horses. Comes out, drifts out pretty good. Rushes, the one drifts out, I mean the six drifts out, bothers the one a bit. They touch. Then they separate, and then the one comes out again and gets the six pretty good, very late in the race, wins by short head, neck, not a neck, short head, neck, something like that. Very close finish. That one I take down. I think they got that one right. Because the first one, the first brushing, I'm okay with. Very similarly to how I was okay with a late and Abel Tasman brushing. I'm okay with the first one. You came out, you wanted to get next, you wanted your horse to see that other horse, you wanted to get next to him. You guys did a little brushing. I'm okay with that. You separated, but then you came again and you got him pretty good the second time. And that one we can't, there are multiples, and that one we can't allow. Because he didn't, the difference is, in a late case, I believe, in a late case, a late was coming in while Smith was coming out, while Abel Tasman was coming out. They were both a little bit at fault for the collision, both collisions. This other event, I didn't feel that way. I thought the outside horse was maintaining a course, and in fact being pushed a little further out, and the inside horse came out twice and got the outside horse. So that's how I would adjudicate these two races. The three races, actually. But, you know, the stewards didn't ask me for my opinion, so I just had to. And did I have a dog in either fight? Yes, I had both a late and Abel Tasman in that race to move to advance. Didn't have any straight wagers or anything. And in the other race, I had both of the horses in the 1 and 6 race, the Dylan and the Rad. I had both of those horses, didn't matter. And in the nightcap, I didn't have any of them, so it didn't matter. Although my horse was the one that was bothered a little bit, but was not going to win the race. Was not going to get to the winner, I don't think. So there you have it, Sonny D. Stewart School.
No, I appreciate it. I'm going to discuss this more, certainly as the week goes on, and there's also some tangential discussion that seems to crop up every time there's steward controversy. Probably do it with John White tomorrow. Johnny, before we go, Jonathan Thomas joins us next, but a quick hit with a week to go on Fun in the Sun.
Quick hit with a week to go. This week's winner, Steven Tyre, plays with Express Bet, one of our tournament players. 368 mutual total, $4,000 prize. Georgia Akadius, second, 361, $2,000 prize. William Kimmock, third, $352 mutual payoffs, collects $1,000. And now, total winnings. The top four earned seats to the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship. Richard Nielsen still leads. He is at $1,017.50. He added about $100 to his total, so he had a break-even week. But he's hanging on to the lead. He's well clear of Greg Knepper and at 861. He added only $35, but still held on to second. David Essig is third at 850. he added $131 to his total. And Stuart Levine came from 31st to get to move into fourth. He added $295 to his total. And we have seven players going into the final week. We have seven players within $100 range of seats. So it's going to be exciting coming down to the finish, because that, remember, if you got the top four people earning seats, okay, if the leader's gone, that's fine. But if you can catch that fourth guy, if you're in the hunt, and look, we saw a guy come from 31st this weekend, $833.50. He had it almost $300, and that moved him up from 31st to 4th. So it can be done in the final week if you're in range. Of course, if you're out of it, out of the running, play for the $7,000 in weekly prize. Take a shot at that. It's only going to cost you $100 to take a shot at $7,000. Play Fun in the Sun at ExpressBet.com. Registration's free. You're making $10 live wagers on one horse in each of 10 competition races. You can come out even. All you got to do is win $100. You break even with a free shot at $7,000. Fun in the Sun, play it at ExpressBet.com. Is this Stevie? I got a little Travers voice going now, but we're almost home. We're about an hour out.
Well, Johnny, as always, great to have you here, and a lot of fun, and we will see you soon enough. See you, obviously, Pennsylvania Derby, but plenty to discuss. One more week, Del Mar, Saratoga.
Stevie, thank you. Well, it was fabulous to see you and Tina and so many other people up there at the spa. It's just again, every year we say, what can we improve on? How can we make the trip a little? Nothing. And this time, we even rallied with a fat finger and a late pick five. Great trip.
That you got to get a little lucky. That'll help.
Rather be lucky than good.
Johnny D, everybody.
XB Johnny D. And always great to have him up here for the weekend, although I did not get to meet them on Thursday or Friday for a pizza. Usually I meet him over at Pie on Wheels, as we discussed, but that didn't happen. I don't know where I was. It was a busy week. And we're not done. We got a carryover into today's card. And we're going to make some final decisions, make an approach. Let's approach the Travers recap conversation with Jonathan Thomas and a career-making win. He had already gone a long way in the last couple of seasons to establishing himself, and this cemented the establishing. Back after a break with Jonathan Thomas to talk about the Travers.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Travers and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.